I think I'm ready for from 138. You were good last week. You had 137 last week. Okay. 138, the Septuagint, 139. Make sure I get the text. Says, O Lord, you test me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my portion, and you foresee all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. The last things and the first things, you fashioned me and placed your hands on me. Your knowledge has become too wondrous for me. It has become too overwhelming. I am unable to grasp it. Where could I go from your spirit or flee from your face? If I should ascend into heaven, you would be there. If I should descend into Hades, you would be there. If I should take up my wings at dawn and pitch camp at the furthest part of the sea, even there your hand would lead me and your right hand would hold me. And I said, perhaps darkness shall cover me, but the night shall be light to my delight. For darkness shall not be dark because of you, and the night shall be bright as day. As its darkness, so also shall be its light. For you possessed my heart, O Lord. You took hold of me from my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wondrously made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows this very well. My bone you made in secret was not hidden from you, and my substance was in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was unborn, and all men shall be written in your book. They shall be formed day by day, when as yet there were none among them. Your friends, O God, became very honorable to me. Their principalities became very strong. I shall count them, and they shall be multiplied more than the sand. I awakened, and I am still with you. If you should slay sinners, O God, you would turn aside from me, O men of blood. For you will say regarding their reasoning, they shall receive their cities in vain. Have I not hated those who hate you, O Lord? And was I not wasting away because of your enemies? I hated them with perfect hatred. They became my enemies. Test me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me, and know my path. And see, there is a lawless way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I really appreciate this song. It's a prayer to the Lord. And David, he knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our rising, our sitting, our sleeping, working, playing. He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our physical weaknesses. He knows everything. He knows our mental weaknesses. He knows our spiritual weaknesses and our strengths. There is nothing that I or you can hide from God. Which is, it's awesome and terrible, and yet at the same time, very comforting. So because of that fact, each of us should flee to Him because He knows us. We should run to Him and make every attempt and every effort to become one with Him on His terms. Because there's no, we're going to deal. He's going to deal with us, and we're going to give an account to him. But he knows us. This psalm is talking about his knowledge. Your knowledge, in verse 6, has become too wondrous for me. It has become too overwhelming. I am unable to grasp it. This thought that he knows the last things and the first things, he knows everything. He knew before the creation of the world that you were going to be right here right now. Because it's knowledge. And he has all knowledge. Now, that knowledge has given a lot of people, because God knows everything, that gives a lot of times people want to try to figure out, well, then he determines things. Or he doesn't determine things. It's the argument that supposedly Christian people have had for generations. But that's not what David did. He didn't try to figure that out. He said, I am unable to grasp it. He let it be what it is, and that is mystery. He let the knowledge of God, that God knows all these things, just let it be a mystery. It's beyond us. We cannot get a hold of that. As soon as you think you do, you'll see something or hear something or read something that kind of, maybe I didn't quite have that. Usually when we think we've got something figured out about God, or some deep secret that we understand about God figured out, that it's because we're ignoring some of these greater truths somewhere. He said, if I should, where can I go and get away from it? As if he wanted to. He didn't want to, but his thought was, where can I go and you're not there? Anywhere I can go here. That's why, for the Christian, we're sojourning or living or passing our time in this world as in a foreign place. We're not at home, but we can go anywhere and be at home. It's kind of a paradox there, but where could I go from your spirit or flee from your face? If I should ascend into heaven, you would be there. We could take a spaceship and go into outer space. Whatever. We could go to the planets or go to the stars. Would we be out of God's reach? No, we wouldn't. If I should descend into Hades, you would be there. Or the place of the dead. You would be there. If I should take up my wings at dawn and pitch camp at the furthest part of the sea. I started out real early. Got as far as I could go into the sea. Even there, your hand would lead me. And your right hand would hold me. And then he talks about the night and the light. He says, perhaps, if I said, perhaps darkness shall cover me, but the night shall be light to my delight. And the darkness shall not be dark because of you. And the King James says the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. But this says the darkness shall not be dark because of you. And the night shall be bright as day. As its darkness, so also shall be its light. There is our light. There's the verses of our light. For you possess my heart, O Lord, and took hold of me from my mother's womb. This, now, is talking about the infants, a child growing and coming into being. And the Lord took hold of us from our mother's womb. We're fearfully and wondrously made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows this very well. When we were being formed, the Lord knew all about us. He says, you knew all my members, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none. And that's, he just knows us. He knew what we were going to look like when we were, before we were even formed. And then it says, verse 16, your eyes saw me when I was unformed, and all men shall be written in your book. So, is anyone insignificant? Does anyone not count? Everyone counts for God. All men. We're just another one of those. They shall be formed day by day, when as yet there were none among them. And then it talks about along now it's talking about if you should slay sinners of God, you would turn aside from me, O men of blood, for you would say regarding the reasoning, they shall receive their cities in vain. Have I not hated those who hate you, O Lord? And was I not placed in the way because of your enemies? In other words, because of your enemies, God, it greatly affected me. He's saying, and I was wasting away. It was causing me to be troubled because of the enemies of the kingdom of God. And I hated them with perfect hatred because, they became my enemies. Test me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my paths and see if there is a lawless way in me and lead me in the way of blessing. This needs to be our heart's desire for the Lord, to do that for us. Test us to see if there is any way in there to lead us. I think the word there, it's test and try, but it says examine. Yeah, test there in verse 23. Then examine me and know my paths. Are we willing to let God examine us and ask for it in us? Be tried and tested. See if there's any way in us that doesn't please him. And you know, as young people, this may not be a full reality for you with God, but if you're unwilling to let your parents know what you're doing, you do things that you want to keep hidden from your mom or your dad, you're setting stage for your life that later on is going to be hard for you to break. It's going to be hard for you to say, God, look at me. See how I really am. But right now, you can be starting to practice being open and transparent with your parents, with those over you, with those in charge, because that'll make it easier later for you to say, look at me, God. I want to be one with you. I want to be in the right place with God. So, because of what we all have to do, that's what it means to be a Christian. Okay. Go ahead and give the verses.
This week we're supposed to memorize Matthew 7:13-14, and it's enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many there are who enter through it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter to the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many that enter through it. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
So whatever you wish that others would do to you.
That's not the correct verse.
Oh.
But you were here reading. For the rest of you, would you just go ahead, and maybe you have something about the narrow way. I wanted the rest of them, after a few of them, say it by memory, then the rest of you say, what does entering the narrow gate and on the narrow path, what does that mean? Something about that. Can you think of something, Matthew? What that means? Just a little something of what it means.
Sound like when you go through life or something?
Yes, yeah. You can enter into life. Yeah. That's good. And the rest of you, Clayton, you're next. You can go back. And if you listen to Brother Kevin, he gave you plenty of hints. No, you don't say that. Don't say it. Don't say it by memory. Just give us what entering the narrow gate means.
That we should enter to life.
Yeah, and to life, what else?
And that we shouldn't just send people and sin.
Right, amen.
A lot of people find the way to destruction, except only a few find the way to life.
We can enter the narrow way by doing what God says, even when it's hard or when we don't want to do it.
You're going to say it by memory. A couple of you say it by memory.
Okay. Oh, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many there are who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are who find it.
Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are there find it. For the gate is small and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few are there find it.
Now the large on whoever's next, enlarge on the verse a little bit, which means explain it to us. Verses.
One way to look at it is to be willing to give up your dreams for whatever God wants.
I thought about the narrow. It means that we can't take a lot of any of our possessions with us. We just got to go without anything.
I've heard Uncle David say more than once, you can choose your path and accept the destination, or you can choose your destination and accept the path. And you can either choose heaven and accept all the pearls and stuff that have to go with it, or you can choose the easy road and just go where it takes you.
Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
large one that tells us.
Okay, it entering through the narrow gate means that not many people go through it because it's a hard path to take, and if you want an easy way, then you're going to end up in destruction.
So the narrow gate, kind of like Philip said, you can't take all your baggage with you, and that's why the Broadway looks so inviting, because you can just take everything with you, take all your baggage and all your dreams and plans, and there's plenty of room for it on the nice broad path. But if you want to follow the Lord, you just need to take yourself and give yourself to Him.
On the wide path, you can just do your way and live for yourself and do it. And then on the narrow path, you just have to give up your way and your plans for the right way.
My memory again.
Enter through the narrow gate, for the way is wide and the gate is wide and the path is broad, which leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the path is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Tell about it.
Following or going the narrow way is just kind of something you got to lay your will down, give everything to God, just give everything to Him. Choose His way and not your own.
The path, it's about endurance and holding the same conviction to the end. And we're to be proved to test our hearts, see if we're actually genuine. And I was thinking about, I thought about the parable of the sower, how Jesus mentioned several types of soil, and among those was the stony ground, which heard the word. They were joyful that they heard the word, but they didn't have root in themselves, and they perished. And I just thought how that's serious, because we come into testing, and so many times we're not prepared. We're just like, wow, I didn't sign up for this. So we fail. But then, thank the Lord, we have a chance to correct our hearts.
All right, for assignment next week, the other boys tell a time when you revealed yourself to your parents because of whatever, issues then. Whatever circumstance or time when you made something that you had done secretly known to your parents. And then for the older boys, find a place in the scriptures where God tested a man.